Today's shiur is Masecht Bava Kama Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shar Shu Mu'ud L'Minoy, Venim Mu'ud L'Shein L'Minoy. It's only a mu'ud for his own type, but it's not a mu'ud for some other type of animal. And the Gemara will explain exactly these lines much more in depth. L'Ktanim Venim Mu'ud L'Gdoylim. L'Odam Venim Mu'ud L'Behema. He's a mood only, mood la'odam v'en a mood la'behema. He's a mood for people, but he's not a mood for animals. Mood l'ktanim, he's a mood for a small type of this animal, v'en a mood l'gdoylim, which means it's a mood for calves, but not for cows. Says the Mishnah, the halach is, esh a mood life, for what he is a mood. Mishalim nezek shalom, he'll have to pay nezek shalom, as the halach is for a mood. V'she'en a mood loy, for what he's not a mood, Meshalom chatzin nezek, he'll pay chatzin nezek. There's a machloikis amongst the rishonim. Mood la'odah ve'en a mood la'behema. An animal that's a mood only for people, not for behemoths. As we learned, and we're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shem today's shir, the aloch is the la'odam yesh loy mazel. A person has mazel. And there's a machloikis rishonim. What does that mean, l'odom yesh loy mazel? Some Rishonim say that every person has a malach that protects him. Other Rishonim explain, l'odom yesh loy mazel, that a person has intellect to know to watch out from damage. So the Mefarshim point out that it must, that machloikis Rishonim will be relevant to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, mu'ud l'odom. If the animal is a mood la'adam, he's a mood for people, but not a mood for animals. What would be the halacha if a animal is a mood for ketanim, for young children? Will it also be a mood for adults? What does it depend on? If we say is that adam yesh lo mazel means that a person has a malach protect him, so a young person and an old person has the same malach. So if an animal is a mood for ketanim, it'll be a mood for gdoilim. But if we say the definition of mazel means that you have the intellect to watch out, an adult has that intellect, a child doesn't. And therefore the halacha would be that if an animal is a mood like tanim, it won't necessarily be a mood for adults. Another point that the Rishonim make is how could it be that an animal is a mood la'odam and still be a mood? Isn't the halacha that if an animal kills a person, that animal has to be put to death? So that's why the Rishonim explained that our Mishnah isn't necessarily discussing a case that the animal killed someone. Our Mishnah is even referring to a case where the animal was mazik someone, and the question is if it's mazik one type of animal or one type or a person, what are the dinim regarding everything else? Continues the Mishnah. Amar l'fanei Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, Hareza mu'ud l'shabosos, v'enem mu'ud l'chan. What's the din if an animal is mu'ud just for Shabbos and not for the weekdays? Omelem, so Yehuda responded, again, this is Pasha Pshar of the Mishnah, L'Shabbos is Mishalom Mezek Shalom. For Shabbos, he's considered a mu'ud, and he pays Mezek Shalom. L'Mos Achol, Mishalom Chatzin Mezek. Pasha Pshat, what were the Talmidim asking? The Talmidim were asking, is it possible that an animal should be only mu'ud for Shabbos, and not for the weekdays? And Yehuda said, yes. Why is it possible? Why would differentiate Shabbos from the rest of the week? So here too we find a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says since on Shabbos the animal doesn't work, so it goes a little crazy and becomes a mu'ud. The Tosfos, however, quotes to Yerushalmi that since on Shabbos people are dressed differently than during the week, that's why it could be a mu'ud for Shabbos. The Shabbos clothing make the animal crazy, not the weekday clothing. What is the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos? So Rishonim point out a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina is if an animal is mu'ud on Shabbos for people, doesn't make it a mu'ud for animals also. If we follow Rashi's pshat, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says this, if we follow Rashi's pshat, that the point is because the animal is not working and that will make it into mu'ud, so it doesn't make a difference if it's a mu'ud for people or mu'ud for animals. If it's the clothing that makes a difference, so then people change their clothing on Shabbos. Animals don't change their clothing on Shabbos. So it would only be a mood for people, not for animals. Another nafkamina would be Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, the halach is some sort of malacha is permitted. So if the vart is the clothing, so in Shabbat if you also wish nice, different clothing. If the vart, however, is that because the animal isn't working, on Yontif, there is some work that the animal is allowed to do. The Mefarshim used this to discuss a number of interesting points that I saw. One shaila is a halacha shaila. The shaila is, on Shabbos, if you say the weekday Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. What happens if a person said Shmoneh Esrei and he doesn't know if he said the weekday Shmoneh Esrei or the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei? So the Paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Mishnah Berurah, all discussed the Shaila, and they want to suggest that perhaps you don't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Why don't you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei? Because since you're wearing different clothing on Shabbos, and that, or you're not working on Shabbos, and that's just like it has an effect on the shor that makes it a mu'ud, it should have an effect on you to remind you that you don't say the same Shmoneh Esrei. Shulchan Aruch Rav actually leaves it with a shaila. The Mishnah Berurah, however, says that certainly if a person has a shaila, if he said the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, he should repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. And the Paiskim explain the basis for the Mishnah Berurah's ruling, because since the Shmoneh Esrei begins the same, the first three brachas are the exact same, it could be that once you got into that routine, you forgot, since you used to saying the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, and if you think that you said the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, you should repeat the Shmoneh Esrei in Shabbos. The Sfasemis says, now we understand the halach is, by Sheva brachas during the week, in order to say Sheva brachas, you have to have panim chadoshes. Shabbos, the halach is, you don't have to have panim chadoshes. Even if all the people who are there attended the wedding, it's still not a problem with panim chadoshes. Why? Because he says, our mission is the proof. Our mission says that everybody in Shabbos is panim chadoshes. That's why the shor doesn't recognize us on Shabbos. And that's why he says you don't need to have panim chadoshes on Shabbos. There's a very interesting story that the Aras Sameach brings from the Ragachava. The Ragachava, we know, is a very sharp person. And there's a woman that once came to the Ragachava and says that she has a problem. Her child is refusing to nurse on Shabbos. And does she know what she could do? So Ragachava said it's a Yerushalmi. That was the way Ragachava spoke. That's all he said. But she didn't understand what he meant. It's a Yerushalmi. So she went to the Aras Sameach, who also lived in Dvinsk, and asked him, this is what happened, but I don't understand what he meant. So he said he meant the Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes here. Tosfos says that on Shabbos, people wear different clothing than during the week, and that's why the shor reacts differently on Shabbos to people than he does during the week. He says, your child doesn't recognize you on Shabbos because you're wearing different clothing on Shabbos. So she doesn't recognize you as his mother, and that's why he's refusing to nurse. Put on the weekday clothing and you'll see there won't be any problems. There are other Rishonim that have different explanations in the Mishnah's dialogue of Rabbi Yehuda and Talmidim. Another pshat that they say, and it's actually Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, that we learned previously, Rabbi Yehuda says that a shor loses its status of being a mu'ud if it passed 3 days and without doing damage. And the question is, if it's a mu'ud for Shabbos, and then you have all the days in between that they didn't do anything, is it going to be a mu'ud or not? Another pshat is, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, I don't want to go into it now, there's a concept of mu'ud l'sirugin. If a pattern can be developed, where the shor does damage every Rosh Chodesh, for example, it becomes a mu'ud for Rosh Chodesh. Same, they asked him, is it possible for such a pattern to develop? And he said, absolutely. Amos Ahutam, but when, if it's possible, continues Rabbi Yehuda to say, if it's possible to become a mu'ud just for Shabbos, so how will this animal that became a mu'ud for Shabbos revert back to being a tam? What he's saying is, just spending 3 days, not weekdays, not doing damage won't prove that it lost its status. It has to spend 3 Shabbosos not doing damage, and then we'll know it indeed lost that mu'ud status for Shabbos. Begins the Gemara, a very fundamental machlokes in how to approach this Mishnah. Itma, Razirama ve'ena mu'ud tanan. The words to be read are ve'ena mu'ud, Rapapa ve'ena mu'ud tanan. What does that mean? What's the difference? Explains the Gemara. hastama have a mood. If an animal is a mood for one type, it's automatically a mood for everything, says Rav Zvid, unless it proves itself that it's not a mood for that. And the Pnei Yeshua asks, how, according to Rav Zvid, does the animal prove itself? Is it sufficient for the animal once to be put into a situation where it could do damage to another type of animal, and it didn't, it's a proof that it's not a mood? Or will it require that it was put into a situation three times and didn't do damage? And the Pnei Yeshua says, as long as it was put into the situation where another animal once and didn't do damage, then it'll be a mood for what it is, and not a mood for anything else. But until it proved itself, according to Rav Zvid, it's a mood for everything. Rav Papa, however, says, ain't a mood to none. What it is a mood for is a mood. What it's not a mood, it's not. Rav Papa ain't a mood to none. The stama, until it's proven to be a mood for a different type, loy have a mood. Says the Gemara, Rav Zvid daik m'sefer. Rav Zvid proves his position from the sefer of the Mishnah. And Rav Papa daik m'reisha. Rav Papa proves his point from the reisha of the Mishnah. Explains the Gemara. Rav Zvid daik m'sefer. Rav Zvid uses the sefer to prove his point. Diktani. The Mishnah said, mood l'ktanim, then a mood l'gdoilim. There's a case where the Mishnah discusses where it's a mood for calves and not a mood for cows. Iyam b'shlama ain't a mood ktani. If we're going to learn, as Rav Zvid said, that the animal is only not a mood if it proved itself not to be a mood. Hastama, until it proved itself not to be a mood for something else. Have a mood, it is considered a mood. Hakamashman, what is the Mishnah teaching us? The tfilim ktanim l'gdoilim, even from a calf to a cow, nami mistam have a mood. The Mishnah is teaching us, without proof otherwise, it will be considered a mood. Ella asked the Gemara, I amrit, ain't a mood ktani, that we're going to follow Rav Papa's gears in the Mishnah. And stama, until we know differently, it's only a mood for what we know it is. Otherwise, stama lo have a mood. Ask the Gemara, hashta yeshloima, if the Mishnah already told us, the miktanim l'ktanim la'alma, that from one type of small animal to another type of small animal, unless stama, it's lo have a mood, it's a mood for what it is, and not a mood for what it isn't. Miktanim l'gdoilim, tzrich l'mem do have a mood. If from one type of small animal to another type of small animal, we already know it's not a mood. Certainly from a small animal to a large animal, it's not a mood. So the question on Rav Papa is, why does the Mishnah have to repeat its din? Answers the Gemara. Rav Papa defends his position. Rav Papa amalok itzrich. The Mishnah does need to say it. Kesal kedat chamina. We would perhaps think, there's two ways of looking at it. What, and that's what the Mishnah is reflecting, says Rav Papa. One is more similar. Two animals of the same family, a calf and a cow, but they're both from the same family, or two animals that are the same size. And the Mishnah, says Rav Papa, is trying to reflect both possibilities. And the Mishnah is teaching us, since it's a mood for a calf, and it's in the same family as a cow, since it's a mood for a calf, it's already a mood for all of the animals in this family. And therefore, we shouldn't differentiate between a calf and a cow. And even then, the Mishnah would be perhaps teach us that if it's a mood for a calf, it's going to be a mood for a cow. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us, no, that even though calves and cows are in the same family, Kamashman will have a mood, just because it's a mood for a calf, it's not a mood for a cow. Rav Papa, however, daik m'reisha. Rav Papa proves his point from the reisha. The reisha says, Diktani mood la'adam, ain't a mood la'behema. If it's a mood for Adam, it's not a mood for behema. Iyam b'shlama ain't a mood t'nan. If we're going to learn like Rav Papa, the Mishnah is teaching us a big chiddush. As we said when we started our shiur, it's much more difficult for an animal to become a mood for a person than to become a mood for an animal. Why? As we said, yesh mazel. A person has this mazel that protects him. So the Mishnah is teaching us a big chiddush, that even though it's a mood for a person, it has nothing to do with animals. Mood la'adam ain't a mood la'vahayma. Iyam b'shlam ain't a mood t'nan. that the Mishnah is teaching us damaloi have a mood, that what it's a mood for, it's a mood, and not hokamashmon. The Mishnah is teaching us a very bechidish, the filum odnal behema, even though it's harder to become a mood for a person, because the person has the mazel. Still, if an animal is a mood for an odom, lebehema, nami stamlo have a mood. The Mishnah is teaching us that it has nothing to do with an animal, and it won't be a mood for behema. Ella asked the Gemara, E Amrit, if we're going to follow Reb Zvid's approach, the ain't a mood ktani, and the Mishnah is teaching us that it's not a mood, that if it's a mood for an odom, it's going to be mood for behema, unless it proves itself otherwise, hostama have a mood. Ask the Gemara, according to Reb Zvid, why would the Mishnah have to teach us this? Hash the Yeshloima. If the Mishnah is teaching us that behema lebehema, if it's a mood for one type of animal, it's a mood for all other animals, unless it proves itself otherwise, may adam lebehema, then certainly the halach is that if it became even a mood for an adam, tzrich lemeima, does the Mishnah have to teach us that it's a mood for behema? The tzrich lemeima to have a mood? The fact that the Mishnah found it need to speak about the case is a proof that Rapop is right, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though this animal became a mood for people, that has nothing to do with animals. So how I says Rashi, maybe the Mishnah is teaching us just the din of tam and mood, that tam pays chatzi nezik and the mood pays nezik shalom. Says Rashi that at the time we got to daf lamed zayin of Abba Kama, we know that din, and there's no reason for the Mishnah to touch us. Rizvid, so how does Rav Zvid defend his position from the fact that the Mishnah needs to tell us that Mudla Behema, Mudla Adam have a Mudla Behema? Amlach Resha Chazorikoi. The Mishnah is teaching us a different thing. Kigoyin to have a Mudla Adam or Mudla Behema. You have an animal that was a mood for people and was a mood for animals. For Hodbeba Behema. And then we see that it had the opportunity to be Mazika Behema. The koi gab behemoth lost zimni. It had counted an animal three times, v'loy nagach, and it didn't attack the animal. Mad tema, kiven v'loy hadamei mi adam. Since we only see that it reversed its behavior regarding animals. Chazor the behemoth. But we never saw it reversing its behavior by people. And therefore we should say, this is the way Yom Shoshlem explains, that it's still going to be a mood for a behemoth, the chazor of the behemoth, mi chazorhi. What we did see. And therefore, even though mood la adam have a mood la behemoth, and once it becomes a mood for Adam, according to Rav Zvid, it automatically becomes a mood for animals too. Still, Rav Zvid teaches us that the Mishnah is teaching us that if we see that it doesn't attack animals three times, that'll be a proof that for animals it's not a mood. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Rav Zvid, Sumchas Oymen, there's a Braisa. And as the Shita helps us understand, the Gemara is picking up the Braisa in the middle of the Braisa. First we'll have the opinion of the Tanakama, which we'll see soon what it was, and the Braisa is picking up where Sumchas' opinion starts to appear. Sumchas Oimer, Mu'ad la'odam, if an animal is in a mood for Adam, Mu'ad la'behema, it also is going to be considered a mood for behema, because we say the following Kavachoyma, Umal Adam Mu'ad, if it's already a mood for an Adam that has this mazel, Lebehema or Koshkein, certainly it's a mood for Behema. That's Rav Zvid. Before we go further, the Rishonim ask, I ain't Einshimun Adin, so how can we use a Kavachoymer to make it into a mood? So Rishonim answer, the concept of ain't Einshimun Adin is only used when we give Malkus or give Misa. Here we're talking about Mammon. Mammon we could obligate through a Kavachoymer. So ask the Gemara, whose opinion is the same as Rav Zvid? Sumchas. But the Tanakama, the Rabbanon, disagree with Sumchas. Mechlal, the Tanakama ain't a mood comer. So is Rav Zvid only following the opinion of Sumchas, who's a Yochid, and not following the opinion of the Rabbanon? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zvid, Sumchas achazorukai. The debate between Sumchas and the Tanakama is not about the psak of Rav Zvid. Everybody will agree with Rav Zvid's psak. that if an animal is a mu'ud for Adam, it becomes a mu'ud for Behemoth. No question. What is the machloikis between the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, and Sumchis? Vachkamle. The debate is about a different subject. Vachkamle, Tanakhama. You, the Tanakhama, hold. The Chazar, the Behemoth, he Chazar. That if an animal becomes a mu'ud l'odom, it also becomes a mu'ud l'behema. However, the Rabbanon hold that if it didn't do damage to animal three times, that will prove, say the Rabbanon, that it's not a mu'ud l'behema, says Sumcha. Sumchas, I don't agree. And I hold Chazara the behema l'av chazarihi. Just because we see that this animal didn't do damage to animals doesn't prove anything, because we use it from the Adam. We learn it from the Adam. Umami Adam like Mahadabe, if it's still a mood for Adam, why is it still a mood for Adam, says Sumchas? Because we never saw it not do damage to Adam. If it's still a mood for Adam, the Behem Lakoshkain, it can't lose its status of being a mood for Behemoth. But in terms of becoming a mood, there is no machlaikis, says the Gemara. Everybody could agree with Rav Zvid that if it's a mu'ud l'adam, it automatically becomes a mu'ud l'behema. Amar Rav Ashi, Toshma. Another proof to Rav Zvid's opinion. Amar Rav Yehuda. The Talmidim, this is the way we learned the Mishnah. The Talmidim said to Rav Yehuda, Hareza mu'ud l'shabbosois, then mu'ud l'maisachol. If we have an animal that's only a mu'ud for Shabbosis and not for maisachol, what is the din? Amalek and Rabbi Huda replied, "L'shabbosois mishalom nezek shalom, l'maisachol mishalom chatzin nezek." Says the Gemara, "I amrit b'shalom ve'enamud ktani." If we're going to learn the Mishnah that if it doesn't automatically become a tam or retain the tam status for what we didn't see it attack, shuli kadim shalalei. They're asking him a question: what is the din if it's a mood only for Shabbos and not for the weekdays? Will it be a mood for the weekday or not? And he's responding that it's possible, as we explained in the Mishnah, that it has a tendency to do damage only in Shabbos, not during the week. Eli Amrit, that it automatically is that way. What it's a mood for, Rapapa's din. Rapapa's opinion. That what it's a mood for, it is a mood. And for what it's not a mood, it's not a mood. Eli Amrit, ain't a mood ktani. So the Talmidim are making a statement to Rab Yehuda. Agmur Yehuda kamagmalu. They're making a statement. Is that proper that the Talmidim are making a statement? Furthermore, even if we say that the Talmidim are making a statement, the Sui, Iu, Maikam Hadabei, if they're making a statement, so what does he have to respond to it? Omar Rab Yanai, continues Rab Yanai, Mureshe Nemedeka. From the beginning of the Mishnah, we could also corroborate Rav Zvid's opinion. The Tani, a Shemud, Loi Mishalm Nezek Shalem. For what he's a Mood, he pays Nezek Shalem. Vishainamud, Loi Mishalm Chatzi Nezek. Iam Bishlam Vainamud Ktani. That we're going to learn that if it's a Mood for one thing, it's a Mood for everything else until it proves itself otherwise. Perusha Kamafarish. The Mishnah begins by telling us an implied halacha that if it's a Mood for one thing, it's a Mood for everything else unless it proves itself. And then the Mishnah continues it saying, and if Taka proved itself, that it's not a mood for a different min, then it has the din of a tan and pays chatzi nezek. Eli amit einem munik tani. That the Mishnah begins to tell us a fact. What it's a mood for, it's a mood. And for what it's not, it's not. Pask, it's a din. My su, why does the Mishnah have to repeat itself? As shemud lo misham nezek sholem, v'shem einem mood lo misham chatzi nezek. And hashna lo yashminin, until now we didn't know this concept, the tan misham chatzi nezek, a mood misham nezek sholem. So it must be, says the Gemara, that Rav Zvid is correct, and the Mishnah is first making a statement what it's a mood for. Once it's a mood for one thing, it's a mood for everything else, unless, as is implied, it proves itself differently, and if it proves itself differently, it will indeed have the din of a tam. However, interesting point, says the Gemara. Vim tim tzuloyma, nami isal d'rapapa, if we will follow the opinion of Rapapa, and the Rishonim make this observation. Surat Shas, the Rambam says this beferish. Wherever the Gemara says im tim tzoloimer, that's the halacha. And the Gemara is telling us a gevaldig chiddush. Even though the Gemara, we just finished learning a piece of Gemara that seems to prove from our Mishnah that Rav Zvid opinion is correct, says the Gemara, the halacha is like Rapapa. Hintim tzalayma, nami isid rapapa. Even though we follow the opinion of rapapa, rapapa will agree that nogach shor chamor v'gomel, that if an animal damaged a shor chamor v'gomel, there nasimud l'koyim, it's mood for all different types. Machlok is to shayin, what does nasimud l'koyim mean? Some shayin means that if it did damage to shor chamor v'gomel, it's a mood, according to rapapa, for all types of animals, but not for people. Because as we said at the beginning this year, a person has mazel, he's a whole different category. Other Rishonim say Nasamud L'Koil means that since it did damage to three different types of animals, it proves that it has this tendency in it to do damage, and it's even a Mood L'Odom. Tana Abonim, Rosh Shah Nogach, if the animal saw an axe and it did damage, then it saw another axe, Shaloi Nogach, Shah Nogach, Shaloi Nogach, it has this pattern, one yes, one no, Shah Nogach, Shaloi Nogach, Nasamud L'Srubin L'Shvarim. Again, the Rishonim say it's following the opinion of Rapapa. It's only a mood for oxen, but even this, that it's a mood for oxen, it's only with the pattern. And it's only a mood for every second animal it encounters. Tanabon, Rosh Shah Nogach, it saw a shah and it did damage. Chamol loy nogach, sus nogach, gomol loy nogach, parrot is a mule nogach, orud is a wild donkey loy nogach. Again, here it again has this pattern. But it's a pattern not limited to one type of animal, rather Nasamud Srugan Lakal, that every second animal, no matter what type of animal it is, it will do damage. Ibailu, ask the Gemara. Nogach Shar Shar Vishar. The animal encountered three oxen and did damage, and the fourth was a chamor, and the fifth was a gomel. Mao, how will we view this animal? Hai Shar Basra, the third Shar. How do we look at it? Do we put it together with all the other shvarim? And again, we're going to learn the Gemara in a very simple fashion. The Gemara is following the opinion of Rapapa. That according to Rapapa, if an animal is a mood for one type of animal, it isn't a mood for anything else, unless it's proven itself differently. So if we say that we take the third shor and connect them to the first two, this animal is only a mood for shor, but not a mood for anything else. Hai shabasra, the third encounter with a shor. Basar shvarim shadin alay. Do we consider the third encounter with a shor? The kati, according to Rapapa, l'shvarim hu d'yayid. It's only going to be mood for oxen. L'midach rina l'yayid. We won't consider the mood for anything else. Adema, or maybe we look at this shor. Hai shabasar, basar chamar v'gamar shadin alay. We look at it as the first of a new series. The Yadli Lekulamini, because the Gemara said on Amr Aleph that even Rapapa agrees that Mu'ud L'Shor Chamor V'Gomel, it becomes a full-fledged Mu'ud for everything else. The Rishonim point out, the Ramban says this, however in a situation where we had Shor, 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 four Shors, and then Chamor V'Gomel, the Gemara is not going to be asking that question, then clearly it's a Mu'ud just for oxen, not for anything else. Here, it's because we don't know how to look at the third one. Do we look at the third one as part of the beginning or part of the end? Now ask the Gemara another question. Chamor v'gomel shor shor v'shor. And as the Rishonim point out, these questions are built one on top of the other. In the previous case, it started with shorim. So we see it has this tendency to attack shorim. So that's why it makes sense to attach the third encounter with a shor to the previous two and not connected to the future, to the other ones. Here, however, it started the other way. It started with chamor v'gomel. Here, maybe everybody will agree that we should put the first act of shor and attach it to the first two acts. Particularly, we always maybe should go back and start from the beginning. And therefore, chamor v'gomel v'shor v'shor, mau, hai shor kamer, the first encounter with axe. Certainly, the Gemara is suggesting, and therefore we will treat it that a yad l'kulamini, even Rapapa will agree that it's a mood for all types. Maybe still we'll treat that as the first of the series with the shayrim, and therefore, the kati l'shvarim u'diyad, it's only going to be mood for shayrim, l'munachrin l'yad. And again, we're going to learn the Gemara, that the Gemara is building. What's going to be the din? Shabbos, Shabbos, v'Shabbos, Echad v'Shabbos, v'Sheni v'Shabbos. Three Shabbosos, and then Sunday, Monday. Mau, how Shabbos besrais Shabbos, Shabbos, v'Sheni v'Shabbos? Do we treat the third Shabbos as a series of Shabbosos? And therefore, v'kati l'shabbos to the yad, l'moysa chal yad, it's only mood for Shabbosois, not for the weekdays. Or duma, bas ech v'shabbos, v'shein v'shabbos, shedina lay, we treat the first Shabbos, the third Shabbos, as the beginning of a series, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, v'yad by l'kula yoyma, and it's a mood for all days of the week. Because, again, we follow the approach we explained in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we explained that Shabbos is different than all the other days of the week. And therefore, we can understand the concept that a show is only a mood for Shabbos, not for the rest of the week. But you can't differentiate between Sunday and Monday. So if a mood is for Sunday, it's a mood for the whole week. Why is this question built? So the Rishonim, built on the previous question, Rishonim explained very beautifully. Shabbos, there's a whole week in between. And during the week, as we explained previously, the animal encountered other animals and did nothing. So you have a whole week to break what happened the previous Shabbos. So even if we'll say shor, it is a mood only for Shirim, because those three things happened consecutively. Here there was a big break between the Shabbosois. Shouldn't those days that are in between the Shabbosois break the Shabbos series? And therefore, when we look at Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, we certainly should view the third Shabbos as the beginning of a new series versus the end of the first series, because since there were so many days in between. And that's why the Gemara asked this question. And now the next question is very geschmack. What's going to be the din? Hey, b'Shabbos, for every Shabbos, for Shabbos. It started with Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So it developed the pattern of nothing to do with Shabbos. And then, Mahu, Ha Shabbos Kamaisa Basa, Hey B'Shabbos, Ver Shabbos Shadinoi. Certainly we should treat the first Shabbos as really a continuation of Thursday, Friday. And therefore, V'yad L'Kula Yoyma, it's a mood for all days of the week. Or Dilma, perhaps Ha Shabbos Kamaisa, the first Shabbos should be considered the beginning of a series of Basa Shabbos Sudi Shadinoi, that it only does damage on Shabbos, or Shabbos Sudi Yad. So we have four questions, and we explain the uniqueness of every question. The Gemara says, take on all the questions. Before we begin the next piece of Gemara, in Hilchos Nida, there's a concept of vestos, when the woman is expected to get her period. It had very significant relevance in the time of Chazal, but it really has relevance nowadays also. In the times of Chazal, we know a woman who becomes a Nida, is Tamei, and if she touches something that Truma or Kaidish, they become Tamei, and you can't eat them. Let's say a woman gets a period today. So there's a difference between a Veset Kavua and a Veset She'ena Kavua. A Veset Kavua means that she expects to get, there's a pattern, and she's going to get her Veset today. So we don't have to be concerned that if she saw Dam today, she saw it before today, if today is her Veset Kavua. And therefore, any Truma or Kaidish that she touched yesterday is no problem. However, if a woman has a veset she'ena kavua, the din is that we have to be concerned that she already saw the dam for 24 hours previously, and any truma kodesh that she touched for the previous 24 hours are tamei. And again, it has a relevance b'zmaneinu. For a woman, does she have to separate herself from her husband because she's expecting her period? If a woman has a veset kavua, she only has to separate herself from her husband the day that she has the Veset Kavua. On the other hand, if a woman has a Veset She'ena Kavua, that she doesn't have an established day when she expects a period, so then there are many days, Yom Lamed, Yom Lamed Aleph, the Veset HaChodesh, we're not learning Hilchos Nida today. So, the Gemara uses the concept of Vestas to discuss developing patterns regarding a Shar being a Mood. Nogach Shar Yom Tezva B'Chodesh Zeh, V'yom tezayim b'chayde zeh, v'yom yudzayim b'chayde zeh. One month was the 15th, next month the 16th, the next month the 17th. Says the Gemara, plucked the Rav Shmuel. And again, we have to go a little deeper here. Everybody agrees in Masechta Nida that if a woman has a veset to a day of the month, she always sees her period on Rosh Chodesh. She only has to see it on three consecutive Rosh Chodesh that she is a veset kavu for Rosh Chodesh. Everybody also agrees, when you have a Veset HaFloga, that it depends on interval of days between her period. Let's say she sees it every 25 days. You have to have four times that it happened. Because you only can have three intervals with four Rias. The machlokes is, how do we view a woman that has a veset on the 16th, 17th, and 18th of the month? Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Do we view it like a veset achodesh, and if you only need 3 rias? Or do we view it like a veset aflaga, and we need 4 rias? Which is a machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, pluk to the Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara in Masechta Nida teaches us, Rasa Yom Tezva b'chodeseh, V'yom Tezayim b'chodeseh, V'yom Yudzayim b'chodeseh, Rav HaMakov V'loi Veset. Rav treats it like a Veset HaChodesh, and 3 rias are enough to establish a Veset. V'shmul HaMa Akshah Tishalash B'dilug, you have to have 4 rias to make the Dilug. And the same Machloikis will be here. The Rishonim point out a very big dilemma. There's a Machloikis throughout Shas, the halacha is as follows. Hilchas HaKarabi Surei, we follow Rav's opinion B'Issa V'Heter. Hilchas Shmuel B'Moini, we follow Shmuel's opinion in Dinei Mominis. Here, this question has relevance for Hilchas Nida, which is Isser, and has relevance for Hilchas Mominis, our Gemara. So who do we follow? So some Rishonim say that we follow the opinion of Rav. Some Rishonim say we follow the opinion of Shmuel. And some Rishonim say that we follow both of them. And in Isurim we'll follow the opinion of Rav, and a Mominus will follow the opinion of Shmuel. Amarava, Shama called Shofar v'Nogach. An animal heard a call Shofar and it did damage. And again, called Shofar v'Nogach. And called Shofar v'Nogach. Nasel mud l'Shofars. Obviously, this animal reacts crazy when it hears a Shofar. Ask the Gemara Pshita. It's obvious. Answer the Gemara. Certainly, the Rishonim say, the second and third time it hit the Shofar and it reacted, it's a proof. But the first time it hit a Shofar, who says it's because it's a mood? It's the first time it ever hit a Shofar and it didn't know how to react and it went crazy. And therefore, we should not include this first act in it to becoming a mood. Kamashman, we do. Says the Mishnah. Shoshe Yisrael Shinogach Shoshal Hagdish. If the Shah of Yisrael killed the Shah of Hagdish, or Shal Hagdish Shinogach L'Shah Shal Hagdit, Potter. Shinema, the Torah says, Shah Lei Ehu, the Torah says, Kigach Shah Rehu, V'loi Shah Shal Hagdish. Machloikis Rishonim, is this referred to all types of Hezek? That's one opinion. Another opinion is that it's only referring to Shah, when my property does damage. But Adam HaMazik, we treat Hegdish the same as we treat everything else. And others say that it only refers to Karen, because that's what this pasuk is, Kiigach. By Karen, we treat Hegdish differently, but not by any other type of Mazik. And the B'nai Saskar brings a beautiful raya to that opinion. We all know that the Yevonim made Klai Yisrael right, Kusul Lechem al Karen Ashar, She'en Lechem Chelik Be'elokei Yisrael. Why Karen Ashar? They had nowhere else to write but a Karen. Because Karen, we see, is treated differently. And that's why they didn't like that. And that's why they made him write it on the Karen. We don't like the fact that Klai Yisrael is different than the Goyim. Shashi Yisrael Shnogel Kishor Shaknani, Potter. The Shaknani Shnogel Shlal Yisrael, Ben Tam Mishnu and Misham Nezik Shalom. Says the Gemara, Masnista like Rav Shimon Menasya. Our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon Menasya. The Tanya, the Rav Shimon Menasya says, it says like this. The Brisa starts like this. Shoshal Hagdish Shinogach Shoshal Hagdish, Ovishal Hagdish Shinogach Shoshal Hagdish, Potter. Shinema, Shah Re'eu, Veloy Shoshal Hagdish. The Dinim of Mazik don't apply by Hagdish. Rav Shimon Menasya Yomer, Shoshal Hagdish Shinogach Shoshal Hagdish, indeed, is Potter. However, Vishal Hagdish Shinogach Shoshal Hagdish, their halach is, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, always Misham Nezik Shalom. Ask the Gemara Amri. So obviously Rav Shimon Menasya disagrees with our Mishnah. The Tanakam is like our Mishnah. But now the Gemara tries to analyze the opinion of Rav Shimon Menasya. Amri, my kasavra Rav Shimon. What does Rav Shimon hold? If Rav Shimon follows the wording of the Pasuk that says only the Dinam Mazikim only apply by another person, then the halacha is that even if a Shah Shal Hagdit was Negech Shah Shal Hagdish, it should be the same din. If, on the other hand, Rav Shimon Menasya holds Re'eu Lav Dafka, and we don't treat Hagdish differently than anyone else, then I feel the Hagdish Nami Kin Negech the Hagdit L'Chayiv. Why is the din in the Mishnah that when Hagdish is Mazik Shal Hagdit, Why is the dinner of Shimon ben Nasya? Do when a hegdish is mazit shall hegdit, it's potter. V'chitema, if you'll say, lo'ilam kasav re'ayu dafka. Rashi Menashe says the word re'ayu is dafka. And that's why the dinim of mazikim do not apply by hegdish. Umiu, still, the hegdit ki nogach the hegdish, still, when a shor shall hegdit, is negech the hegdish, the halach is that it's chayif, hanatam the mechayif, why? Mishim the kamaislam kavachoymer, because Rashi Menashe uses a kavachoymer. He makes a kavachoymer the hegdit. Umma hegdit shall nogach shall hegdit. If my shor was negech your shor, chayiv, I'm chayiv, as we're learning in this mesechta. Certainly, kinogach the hegdish. If my shor was negech the shor of a hegdish, like koshkein the mechayiv, and that's why Rav Shimon Manasya says that when a shor shall hegdit is negech a shor shall hegdish, it's chayiv because of this kavachaymer. Says the Gemara, I can accept that. However, we notice a concept of daya love min adin lias kanidai. Whenever we learn a kavachaymer, we spent a lot of time speaking about this concept. Malahalan, if we're learning the hezek to hegdish from the hezek to hegyet, it ought to have the same din. Malahalan, just like by the hezek to a hegyet, the din is tam pays chatzim nezek. Here too, hachinami, the din ought to be that when a tam does hezek to hegdish, it should be chatzim nezek. But that's not what Rav Shimon Manasseh said. Rav Shimon Manasseh said that when hegyet does hezek to hegdish, the din is you always pay nezek shalom. But if I'm relying on the kavachaymer, that ought not to be the case. El amar shlokish, hakol hoy bechlal nezek shalom. The Torah really, the halach ought to be that if, and this is, we spoke about this, when my shor does damage, I should have to pay nezek shalom. Sheparat l'cha kosev re'eyu gabetam. The Torah teaches us a new din, that keren tam only pays chatzin nezek. But where did the Torah tell us that din? Rehu the tam, mishalom chatzin nezek. Only by my re'ehu is there this new din that tam only pays chatzin nezek b'karen. But that's only by re'ehu. Mechlal the hegdish, by hegdish, the din that ought to be remains, and bein tam, bein mud, mishalom nezek shalom. Because if not, dimkein lichta kro lahai re'ehu gabe mu'ud. Why did Torah choose to say the word re'ehu by tam, not by mu'ud? To teach us that the special din that we're learning, that tam pays only chatzi nezek, was only said by re'ehu, not by hegdish. So now we understand why a shor shal hegdit was mazik a shor shal hegdish, whether the shor is a tam or whether the shor is a mu'ud. They pay nezek shalom because the special dispensation doesn't apply. But the Rishonim asked, the Gemara is missing an important element. From where does Rav Shimon ben Nasya take that if a shor shel hegdish is mazik a shor shel hegyet, that you don't pay? Why? So the Rishonim answer, we by a tam, again we use the word re'ehu, to teach us that the din of mazik only applies by re'ehu, not by hegdish. What about mu'ud? He says, it's impossible for a shor shel hegdish, say the Rishonim, to become a mu'ud. Because how does a mu'ud become a mu'ud? The pasuk says, v'huud b'balav. You warn the owner that your animal has this tendency. But hegdish has no owner. And therefore, it's not possible for a shor shel hegdish to become a mu'ud. So if you combine these two explanations that we just gave, the re'ehu excludes the tam, and v'huud b'balav excludes the mu'ud, that's why shor shel hegdish, shenogach shor shel hegdit, is potter.